I think CCTV is really showing the wrong approach towards good staff. However, if there is one particular bad apple, then you need to find it and, you know, you need to deal with it.
Welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast, the show that's dedicated to helping age and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry.
Welcome to another episode of the Aged Care Executive Podcast. Now, since the recent airing of an investigative two-part series into abuse in aged care by the ABC's Four Corners, the topic of CCTV is one that's dividing the industry as well as media. No matter what your personal view is, if you belong to an organisation that is considering CCTV, there are a number of considerations that should be thought of. Today we have with us Alison Choi Flanagan, partner from Hall & Wilcox legal firm. In this episode, we talk about the considerations before implementing CCTV from a workplace culture point of view as well as a legal perspective. So we talk about things like the impact on privacy, consent and employment law, and also the risks associated with relatives planting nanny cam type devices. Alison gives some good practical advice and recommendations if a facility did want to proceed, and also some of the mistakes that some organisations could potentially be making when it comes to CCTV. I'm your host, Michael Peachy, and this episode is proudly brought to you by WNL Mobile Healthcare Services, delivering mobile allied health and dental services to improve the quality of life for all Australians. So, without further ado, here is our episode with Alison. Alison, welcome to the Aged Care Executive Podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to present for you.
Great. Now, you are a lawyer. Now, that's obviously not someone who's necessarily working day to day in an aged care organisation. Can you start off by, you know, putting your role into context and giving us a little bit of background about yourself and your involvement in the sector?
So I am a partner of Hall & Wilcox, and I lead the firm's health, aged care, life science and community practice nationally. I've been acting for health and aged care clients for over 25 years. And in that capacity, I've been advising clients on a number of issues, including privacy and dealing with complaints. Previously, I was general counsel of Ramsay Healthcare, which is Australia's largest private hospital operator. And when I was general counsel of Ramsay, it owned an aged care division, of which I did all of their legal work. But since then, I've been acting for over 70 aged care providers, both on the residential aged care and home care. And most recently, some of the work that I've been involved in includes acting for approved providers that have been featured in the Four Corners program and are likely to be featured in the Royal Commission into Aged Care.
Okay, well, I guess that's quite fitting then, you know, considering today's topic about CCTV and some of the things that have appeared on the Four Corners program. It seems to be a thing now where, you know, a lot of people in the media are pushing for CCTV in aged care organisations. That obviously comes with, you know, many pros and cons. What are some of the considerations an aged care organisation needs to think about before they go implementing CCTV?
There's a number of issues with CCTV, and there are a number of issues arising from for CCTV or videoing in the residential aged care and home care context. The recent press reports have shown an indication for some families to want to have CCTV in residential aged care facilities, but then others don't. And ultimately, the issue is CCTV necessary to keep our residents safe? Arguably, it should be at the very least the last resort, because what we want to do achieve is ensure that our residents are safe and that they have optimal outcomes. But CCTV seems to be, in my opinion, a knee-jerk reaction to, in many cases, very isolated incidents of elder abuse. By and large, the industry has a number of very caring people that work in very difficult situations, and they do a wonderful job. And if you put yourself in their position, you would not necessarily want to be videoed when you undertake your daily tasks in doing your work. And so requiring CCTV footage in every residential aged care facility, in my opinion, does not facilitate attracting the best staff to provide the care for our residents. So there's a number of issues with it. But ultimately, what we want to do is ensure the safety of the residents. And if we look at that, then there's a number of issues that we can do to achieve that without CCTV. Obviously, for example, looking at ways that staff are hired, making sure that when they are hired that you not only look at their formal qualifications, whether it's a registered nurse, whether they're registered as a nurse or a carer, what certification they have, but looking at their personality, whether they have tendencies in terms of anger management, and more importantly, looking at checking their references very carefully to see what their past behaviour has been. Training, dealing with ways to deal with residents or clients with challenging behaviours. So there's a number of things that really should be, and people should be looking at in terms of making sure that residents are safe and well cared for, rather than going back to CCTV, because my view is that having CCTV is actually not assisting the approved providers and the community in terms of the families of people are looking at. You're actually not making it easy to hire people by putting that into the facility.
At the end of the day, you know, having a system in place to capture bad people doing the wrong thing, sending the wrong message to, you know, the 99.9% of the industry who do the right thing on an everyday basis anyway.
Yes, and I mean, CCTV has its place. So, for example, facilities like to have CCTV in their perimeter on the exterior to ensure that the facility is safe. But there are a number of issues with CCTV in addition to, I just wanted to focus on the point about resident safety, because that's really what we want to achieve, and CCTV is not going to necessarily help you achieve that, because there'll always be blind spots and whatever. So, you know, the focus should be about training staff, selecting the right staff and giving them support. But there are, I want to turn to some of the other considerations dealing with CCTV. It's not only the privacy of the staff that's involved, but it's the privacy of the individual and other residents or clients that might come within the filming of the CCTV, because quite often you have common areas. They have a right to their privacy. And also you've got to remember with residential aged care, it's not like a hospital. These are people's homes. So I would, as a resident of a retirement village or a residential aged care facility, I would not want to be filmed 24/7, and I would certainly not want to be, if I was, you know, in a common area, filmed by another family without my consent. So there is a number of issues with CCTV and privacy and consent and employment law. What the law is in relation to CCTV and privacy is that privacy covers personal information which identifies or could identify an individual. So if an individual is in within CCTV footage of an approved provider, that is personal information. And so the approved provider has an obligation to protect the privacy of its residents and also privacy of other individuals who might be visiting the facility, for example, family members, visitors, medical practitioners, etc. So there is a number of obligations in relation to CCTV that should be taken into consideration. In relation to employment law, there is legislation throughout Australia to deal with workplace surveillance. So I'm going to talk about the New South Wales legislation, but there is similar legislation in other states, only because if I deal with all of the states and territories, the presentation will be too long. But please feel free to contact me and Holland Walcott if you want to have a discussion about the legislation of the states. So in New South Wales, there's the Workplace Surveillance Act 2005. And under that act, there are certain obligations in relation to employers and the use of CCTV footage. So it is an offence under that legislation for an employer to be involved in the surveillance of employees without providing written notice at least 14 days before the surveillance commences. And that's in section 10. And that notice must indicate the kind of surveillance to be carried out, whether it's camera, computer or tracking, how the surveillance will be carried out, when the surveillance will start, whether the surveillance will be continuous or intermittent, and whether the surveillance will be for a specified period or ongoing. For camera surveillance of an employee, it is only permissible to use cameras for surveillance where the cameras are clearly visible in the place where the surveillance is taking place, and where there are signs notifying people that they may be under surveillance in that place, which are clearly visible at the entrance to that place. So you can notify your employees by email or in a workplace policy, but it is important that you are required to notify the employees of that. The legislation also extends to another person for whom an employee performs work pursuant to a contract or other arrangement between that other person and the employee's employer, so such as a labour hire contract. So arguably, a resident or the legal representative's contract with the approved provider. So there is some argument that they are also subject to the Workplace Surveillance Act and should provide notice. Having said that, though, where there have been cases where family have filmed employees of approved providers engaged in elder abuse, it would be very difficult to try and prosecute them under the Workplace Surveillance Act. In relation to covert surveillance, then that's only permissible in very limited circumstances. For example, working out whether an employee is involved in unlawful activity. However, in that case, if an approved provider has reason to suspect that one of their employees is involved in elder abuse, they can use the covert surveillance. But we would recommend that you get a warrant issued by a judge or magistrate to protect you in that circumstances. Legislation also prohibits surveillance in certain circumstances, so it must not be taken in any change room, toilet facility or shower or other bathing facility, and that's section 20. And in many cases, non-ambulant residents are washed in their rooms.
Okay, so that raises a couple of interesting points, and I guess the first one is the point about the cameras are required to be clearly visible. And, you know, we all want to strive for a residential aged care facility being a home-like environment. So you would think having a more discreet type of camera might give it that more home-like feel and allow employees to relax while they're doing their job. But at the other end of the spectrum, they must be, you know, clearly visible and overt so everyone knows they're there, which may actually be counterproductive to that.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you mentioned about the toilet and the change room element of the Act. That seems to negate most of the, you know, areas that can be used anyway. And, you know, where some of the recent abuse has actually already occurred.
Yes. So sometimes when there's been a resident complaint and they do want to have their family member watched by video CCTV, in some cases for acting for an approved provider and trying to resolve the complaint and trying to identify what's going on, I will advise clients to permit limited CCTV only in the room because, you know, it can't be in common areas because that would affect the privacy of other individuals, but with the full consent of everyone involved and telling staff, because that's a fair and proper process.
And that in itself, by notifying everyone involved, that itself, not the necessary that the CCTV, is likely to prevent their abuse from occurring in the first place.
Yes.
You'd like to think so anyway. So
you would like to think so.
Yeah. So if an organisation, for some reason or another, did want to proceed with implementing CCTV, what would be the, I guess, practical steps an organisation should take to make sure they're doing it with proper consultation and in accordance with, you know, the legislation?
I would recommend that they comply with the legislation that I just talked about. So obviously making sure that the employees are notified, that there's clear notices on the wall at the entrance that certain places are subject to CCTV, and obtaining the consent of relevant people, considering where it is relevant to place CCTV and when it is not, or where it's prohibited. So that's something that you should take into consideration. And having full consultation with, obviously, the staff, the residents or the clients and their families. And it could potentially become a union issue. So being aware of that is something that you should be, I would be advising clients, because the unions may not be very happy with having everyone covered by CCTV 24/7.
Yeah, that makes complete sense, and you want to make sure the union's on side and consulted. On top of that, is there any bad advice or misconceptions that you might have been hearing in the media or around the industry related to implementing CCTV?
I think it's useful for approved providers to be aware of their legal obligations in relation to the use, and I don't think a lot of them are aware of the legal obligations. We've just published the Hall and Wilcox Health and Community Alert. This is a Royal Commission special edition. It's available on our website, and there's further information available in that article about the use of CCTV. So I would highly recommend that you obtain appropriate advice before you proceed if you want to do it, and that you have in place appropriate consent forms and appropriate consultation. But I think at the end of the day, the bad advice is that is the overreaction. I think the better advice is to actually look at each complaint or concern on a case-by-case basis and identify individuals who could be at risk for the organisation in terms of elder abuse, and be transparent with the resident and their family about the privacy and security arrangements. So with the new aged care quality standards, which have been introduced, and approved providers will be measuring them from next year, they are very consumer focused. And the new aged care quality standard 5 deals with resident client safety and requires the approved provider to ensure that residents and clients feel safe. It is important going forward that all approved providers, I mean, it's a mandatory obligation under the aged care legislation to do it, but I would be recommending that approved providers be involved in staff surveys and resident and family surveys and identify where the concerns are and identify for each particular case the best way to ensure that our residents are safe and they feel safe and comfortable in their environment, and also that their privacy rights are respected. And that is the better approach to me rather than this knee-jerk reaction with CCTV.
And I think that's a great summary of the whole situation. Don't punish and infringe upon the rights of every person in every facility to deal with a few bad apples, to catch them after the fact anyway.
Exactly. We need to find the bad apples, not punish the rest, because if you punish the rest, we are not going to... It's difficult for the industry to attract quality staff, and we really need to value the staff and value their rights in order to get optimal outcomes. And you need to, when you're valuing staff, you're trusting them, you're engaging them, and you're applauding them for really good behaviours with stakeholders, whether it's residents, clients and their families. And I think CCTV is really showing the wrong approach towards good staff. However, if there is one particular bad apple, then you need to find it and, you know, you need to deal with it. But I just don't think CCTV is the way forward to... And staff are concerned about the Royal Commission because, you know, there are good staff out there doing wonderful work, but obviously the negative press is not making it easier for them. And I take my hat off every day to the staff and for my clients. When I go out to facilities, I do like to visit them. I walk through dementia wards. It is a very difficult job that they do. So for those that are doing a great job, I think that they should be encouraged and applauded rather than punished by being watched. And I think CCTV is just not the right environment for a trust environment.
I 100% agree with that. I'll link to the resource that you mentioned in the show notes. In addition to that link, where would be the best place to find you if any of our audience wanted to find out more about CCTV and their rights and obligations?
So you'll find my contact details on our website, but my email address is alison.choi-flanagan@hallandwilcox.com.au. Or my mobile is 0411049459, and I'm hoping that you'll put those contact details as you promote this podcast.
I absolutely will. Alison, thank you very much for your time today. I'm sure that many people will get a lot out of it and they will completely change their view on their plans to implement CCTV.
Thank you so much for contributing, and there's ways to communicate what's happening with a resident, with their family, rather than CCTV, and providing more information and transparency. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Aged Care Executive Podcast. What drives us is knowing that we're providing content to help aged and community care professionals stay ahead of the industry. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your colleagues. Don't forget to hit subscribe, it's free, and also leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. But please, leave a comment and let us know what we can do better, or if there's any particular topics you'd like to hear about. If you'd like to connect with us or have any questions, you can find us on LinkedIn and Facebook at the Aged Care Executive Podcast.